parents, they may identify in this situation when toddlers start asking successive whys. Why? When toddlers asking successive why, your patience will be tested. They have patience answering toddlers when they ask why, then why, and why. There was that curious toddlers or children want to know the reason why they do something, the reason behind doing one thing or another, then ask another why, ask follow-up with successive why until they are satisfied with your answer, or when you are irritated and of their seemingly irrelevant questions of why. There was this mother. She told her child, go and brush your teeth. Why do we brush our teeth, mother? The child asked, so that you have good, clean teeth. The mother answered, why do we need to have clean teeth, mother? The follow-up question came. To have good breath, she answered. Why do we need to have good breath, mother? Follow up. Why ask? Hey, stop asking why. Just go brush your teeth. End of successive why. Have you had that experience before, parents? Many busy parents have no patience explaining wisely to curious children the reason behind doing something or another. They just want to learn. Do you agree that it would help children if parents spend enough time giving intelligent answer to inquiries of curious children? Do you agree with that? If you agree, pray that the Lord would fill you with the Holy Spirit so that He would give you that patience. If you sense like you're irritated, it means you are just depending upon your human effort. But if you sense that peace and the patience in you, you know that it's the Holy Spirit working in your life. So how much time is enough time when answering curious inquiries of children? Well, parenting, this is a ministry to disciple children. The way we respond to children, the way we teach them, it will help them, it will be integrated in their habit, in their behavior, in their lifestyle. And maybe one day they would remember you. Oh, my mother was so patient with me when I asked a lot of why. When they become parents themselves, they will experience similar that you have experienced, but they would remember you. Say, you know, your grandmother, your grandfather, they were very patient with me. So take note of that. Parents should be the primary mentor, primary teacher, primary trainer to their children. Can you readily adhere? Can you readily believe what the wisest King Solomon advised in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17, when he said, discipline your children, and they will give you peace. They will bring you the delights you desire. Discipline your children, they will give you peace. You want to sense that peace in your heart? Not worry about what your children may do. Discipline your children. They will bring you delight you desire. We believe that Solomon was the wisest king of Israel. Yes. His advice, discipline children, that we may have peace and delight seems like to be very ironic, right? If we take his own children as example, the very son of King Solomon, King Rehoboam, who succeeded him as king of Israel, he failed to keep Israel united as a nation. He was not very wise in his decision making. Did King Solomon discipline him or not? Did King Solomon have peace and delight in his children? Peace and delight as a result of disciplined children should not depend on what children do or their lifestyle. Remember, it's not what the children do. It's discipline your children is a command for parents and not for children. If you did your best to discipline your children, that is before the Lord, that is you before the Lord. Whatever they do with your disciplinary action, disciplinary teaching, however they respond to it, it's not because you did not discipline them. It is because of their human nature. So that peace and delight should not depend on how they would respond to your disciplinary action. That peace and delight as a result of disciplined children should not depend on what children do or what could be their lifestyle in the future. But can you accept that parents' responsibility to discipline their children is godly command that requires godly effort? Can you accept that? Thus, to obey such godly command, parents must rely upon the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit then. The Holy Spirit produced peace. He produced delight for parents to discipline their children in biblical manner. Actually, the term delight can be interpreted as joy. It is another term for joy. Delight, you have that joy. Joy and peace are fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? It's not the fruit of how children would react to your disciplinary actions, your teaching. It's not. That peace should come from deep within, from the Holy Spirit. That delight should be experienced from within, even if they may fail. The children may fail. Everyone fails anyway. Nobody would say that they were very perfect in their childhood, in their adulthood, in their adolescencehood. Every child has his/her naughtiness. Can you agree with that? Were you very good boy, good girl when you were younger? It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10 to 11, let's read this. They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seemed pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. As parents, as we discipline our children, our Heavenly Father disciplines for goodness' sake that produce righteousness, that produce, and we sense that peace in us if we abide in godly training. As we abide in godly training, it means that the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. And as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, He produces fruit in our lives. And that includes peace and joy. Godly training and our godly discipline from the Lord, it sets us apart as His holy children. God loves everyone, but He disciplines the children He loves. If He disciplines us, it means He has set us apart to be holy for Him. As children of our Heavenly Father, He disciplines us. He sets us apart from worldliness to be holy. Why? We need to learn. We need to live how to be holy because our Father in heaven is holy. Living in heaven requires holiness. Living in heaven does not require worldliness. Worldliness is for this world only. When Christ our Lord returns and takes us into heaven, we live with Him and our Heavenly Father forever and ever to live in holiness. But even now we need to practice living in holiness. Christ's advent is coming sooner than later. Christ is coming again, sooner than later. Let me testify of this. One of the reasons I did not dream of living outside the Philippines is that I know that when I go out of the Philippines, I will be forced to speak in English. And I did not appreciate speaking in English. I like speaking in my language because I want to express myself in my heart language. But why am I here? That's God's word. Why am I speaking in English? That I know it's the Lord's word too. And that may be because the Lord allowed me to get married with a teacher in English. Well, to look forward to the coming of Christ again. He will come sooner. Let's read again verse 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming. With minds that are alert and sober. Do you strongly hope that Christ comes sooner than later? Are you praying for that? Do you desire that Jesus would come today, tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month, next year? Do you have that desire? We have no idea for sure when Christ would return. But to have that firm confidence that He will certainly return, we become more sober and alert in our mindset and in even the way we live our lifestyle. It is also by the grace of God that we sense that urgency to follow a lifestyle pleasant to God. If we are expecting that the Lord would come sooner, it is also by the grace of God that manifested in our life, when we sense that peaceful joy and peace in abiding in His godly discipline. When we sense that, I need to do this, and we have that delight, that excitement, that enthusiasm to live a lifestyle according to Him, that is God's grace for you, God's grace for us. That phrase, mind that are alert and fully sober, it pertains to awareness. You are aware, you prepare. You have that great expectation that Christ would return sooner. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Such expectation, it produced that delight in our personal spiritual preparation. We need to prepare. We want to be the best presentable to our Lord in the best way we become. We want to be the most holy to the Lord. Now, I don't know for you, but I have read many stories about weddings where the bride is late, always late. Have you been on time in your wedding? Why are the brides always late? Why? Do they intentionally want to be late? No, they were preparing for the best possible presentation they can have for their groom. They want that when the pictures are taken, the videos are taken, it would be very nice to watch and reflect on their appearance. And wedding is the illustration of the Lord Jesus, of His coming again. How we may prepare for His coming again. Christ illustrated His return in the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. Let's read verse 1 to 5. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Now this parable, it teaches us that the wise virgins, they enjoyed the banquet. They entered the banquet hall, while the foolish virgins, they did not. The ten virgins, it pertains to believers who are prepared for Christ's return. Are you prepared for Christ's return? Then you are very wise. All of them, they have lamps, right? But only the wise virgins have extra oil. Some Bible scholars suggest that lighted lamps pertains to abiding in biblical righteousness for spiritual guidance, because it lights, light. While the wise believers seek to understand, personally apply spiritual lesson while waiting for Christ's return, the foolish ones are pleased with little knowledge of God. I'm sure I'm going to heaven. I prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. The pastor assured me that if I pray this prayer, I accept Christ as my Lord and Savior, I will be in heaven. I'm very assured of that. But are they very sure, or they just deceived themselves? Bible students suppose that that last phrase, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. It can be interpreted as ordinary lifestyle of mankind, or even common problem that all people may experience, even non-religious people may experience in this world. Everyone can become drowsy, everyone can fall asleep. Being drowsy and fall asleep, or to have common problem common to mankind, was not the reason the foolish virgins did not enter the wedding banquet. It was not the reason they were not able to enter the wedding banquet. It was not. It was because they have no extra oil. That was the very reason they have not entered the wedding banquet. They fall short of oil in their lamps. What is spiritual oil of believers? What is that? The foolish virgins depended upon the oil in their lamp. They thought that their personal oil or personal righteousness would be enough until the groom would arrive. The wise virgins, they have extra oil. Oil in their lamps, they have, and extra oil with them. The oil in their lamp, theologians interpret, is that as the human righteousness. And everyone can have human righteousness. But the extra oil that the wise virgin have is the sanctification, the divine power of God through the Holy Spirit that secures the believer to have eternal life. That is the extra oil. Do you have that sanctification of the Holy Spirit? Do you have that divine power of God? Are you assured that you would enter heaven? In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, we all know this, and even in 24 it says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, every one of us. And all are justified freely by His grace through redemption that came by Jesus Christ. But this all does not pertain to every person created. All are justified freely. When it means by His grace through the redemption of Christ. But what does that mean? You have only it, that justification, if you have that faith in Christ. If you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have allowed the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you. Everyone can have problem. All of us. Everyone can be righteous. We can be righteous in what we do. Everyone can avail of the extra oil of godly righteousness through faith in Christ. But not everyone did not avail. Did not believe in Christ. But how do wise believers make sure to have that extra oil or godly righteousness? How do we do that? We should make sure we are set apart. We should make sure we are sanctified. We should make sure we are consecrated to the Lord, set apart. The lifestyle in godly righteousness, this proves if we are holy to God, if we are set apart to God, if we are sanctified to God, the way we live, the way we think, the way we decide on things, our attitude, our behavior. And the Bible teaches us how we may live a lifestyle pleasant to God. How a sanctified believer is set apart for Christ. It is true that we have accepted Christ as Lord. If it is true, we are saved forever. When we accepted Christ, Lord, be my Lord and Savior. If that is genuine, sincerely prayed, then you will be saved forever. But how do you know that you have sincerely accepted Him and not deceived yourselves? Sanctification comes in. During the men's fellowship, we were studying about sanctification. So it is good to attend the men's fellowship because that is what we are studying, asking one another more specifically questions that may not be answered or addressed on the pulpit. As we eagerly wait for the return of Christ, we have to be alert and sober, always in our mind. We need to regularly evaluate our lifestyle, our behavior. From time to time, how do I think? How do I behave? How do I live? What are my choices? We need to do that time and time again so that we won't be tempted to conform to the pattern of worldly lifestyle surrounding us. It's very easy to be tempted to conform, especially when you are surrounded with friends, good relatives, very good to you, very nice, very kind to you. You would cherish their company. And that may influence you to conform with their lifestyle. Let's read again verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. To conform to the pattern of worldly lifestyle, that is the natural inclination, our natural tendency. As mankind, it is. And no one is exempted. Every believer can be attracted to materialism, to worldly pressure. We can be. You can easily see even the social media post of pastors out there, how they would present themselves. Oh, I think pastor is just trying to be involved in the world, something like that. It requires total dependence upon the Holy Spirit for us to be holy all the time. You want to be holy all the time. You want to be set apart all the time. Pray that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit all the time. Have you observed that even during your personal quiet time, you're reading the Bible, you seriously read the Bible, and then suddenly your mind would wander somewhere all of a sudden, right? There's ideas would distract our concentration. Have you observed that? Even now, some of us could be thinking about, what do I have for lunch? What do I have for dinner? What would I do after church? Activities that they are passionately involved with. And experts suggest that we can be passionate with one thing or more. And normally, our passion would occupy our mind most of the time. Are you passionate about your job? You would be thinking about your job, even when you are driving. Are you passionate with your studies? You would be thinking about your studies, even when you are about to sleep. Are you passionate with your hobby? Maybe you can even dream with about your hobby. Your project at work, project in school, or maybe sports. I want to play, I want to watch, or even pleasure. There was this woman, posted in the internet, or posted in the Facebook page. The first Filipino woman to visit all countries in the world. Have you had that in your Facebook account? So what? Even if you would live in Antarctica or in Greenland, what is that to me? But to that person, that is the greatest achievement she desired. She was passionate with to be called the first Filipino woman to visit every country. How many countries in the world? More than 120? I don't know. How about that? 120 or more. Just imagine how much money she spent. Going to the Philippines, how much is a fair round trip? I don't know. But that is her passion. Are you passionate with your ministry involvement? What is it that you most often think in your solitude, when you're alone, or wherever you are situated, or for you fathers waiting for your wives when they are having their grocery, or your wives when your husband is in Home Depot, you're waiting for him. What do you think in that situation? There was this TV series. It features a group of liars, and they defended a client in a remote island, exotic island. And the team leader could have just stayed in his office, just relaxed in his office, sent his team. Instead, no, I would join you. He joined them, and they went to that island. His personal plan was to have rest and leisure in that exotic island. Speaking of island, one can easily imagine seashore, swimming, boating, relaxing, just as Brother Eric, is Brother Eric here? He just arrived. He was telling about what they experienced in Boracay. Have you been to Boracay before? When the team of lawyers gathered, the team leader told his team about, he told the story about his life, about his passion. He was very passionate in his work as a lawyer. He got married, and they had their honeymoon in that exotic island. In the same island they were, they went to. But he said he got divorced after that, after the honeymoon. Why? His wife was very upset that even during their honeymoon, he was still working like crazy and ignored their honeymoon. There was this part where he was taking a picture in that very beautiful background for her wife. He was about to take that picture. Of course, the camera that he was using was not that touch screen or something. So he was trying to focus on, and then suddenly a cell phone rings, and look at his cell phone, and other people were waiting in line to take that spot where his wife was standing, trying to present herself in a very memorable stance. So she needed to move out from that area so that others can take the picture. But his husband was just very busy talking to his phone about office matters. How could newlywed wife enjoy that situation? And there are a lot other more. Someone jokingly said, "I don't like work. It destroys the fun with friends." I don't know about that. Is it easy for you to adjust when your spouse come home and talk about their work when they are home? And have you observed your co-worker, office mate, they talk about life at home when they are at work? Have that? My co-worker before and I would be talking about, he was a young father and I was a young father. We are talking about children. Was talking about dogs sometimes. I don't have dogs, but I have there's dog in the neighborhood. We talk about that instead of talking about the work. So it is also natural for others, right? Do you do that at work? Talk about your children at work? Talk about your dogs, your cats, birds, pets, something like that, or projects. When at work, they talk about home life. When they are home, they talk about work. Is there biblical instruction about talking particular topic at home or at work or anywhere? Is it biblical? Is there a biblical topic, particular topic? Actually, it teaches in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 7. Let's read this. "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord our God, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. That is how you love the Lord our God, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. You will be very passionate with this. Whatever you are passionate with, that is what you love with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, because every time it is the topic that you are talking about." Originally, this command was given to the Israelites, but it is also for God's children. And we believers, we are God's children. It is advisable then for parents, believers of God, to talk about the Lord with their children, wherever they are situated, at home, at the park, the grocery store, driving, long driving. God, our Heavenly Father, would bless you more if you do that. Teaching children about godly righteousness, it helps us to be aware even of our own lifestyle. But of course, this is godly command, that we just cannot do it on our own. We cannot force it on our own. So ask the Lord, how would I do it? Help me, Lord. Ask the Lord. Don't just do it on your own. You cannot. We cannot. Do you eagerly look forward to the return of Christ? With alert and sober mind, do you? So be sincere. Focus on holy life. Focus on obeying what the Lord says. Because we are called to be holy in everything we do. In everything we do, we are called to be holy, not just during Sundays, not just during sermons. In verse 15 and 16, it said, but us, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Let's repeat verse 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. All you do. Not just during quiet time. Not just during eating time. Most of the time you pray when you are eating. Not just during when reading the Bible. It is also when you are gardening, when you are in carpentry, when you are painting, when you are washing, when you are... Now, that's wonderful, right? Many would complain during washing time, washing of dishes. Oh, I need to be holy. I need to be holy, Lord, while washing. But, there was this video in the internet. A child was washing so hard. But it's, of course, in that local language, complaining that he was maybe 5-6 years old boy. He was tasked to wash the dishes and he was crying, it's so hard. But for us, even when the boss may be so harsh to you, I need to be holy. Keep on asking the Lord to remind us we need to be holy. But what shall we do? How can we explain when someone asks us about the meaning of holiness? And this is one thing that we learned yesterday. Holiness, sanctified. What does it mean to be holy? To be holy is to be sanctified, to be consecrated, to be sacred, to be set apart. Set apart. Now look at this. Beautiful flowers. Thank you for the person who arranged this. Beautiful flower. They are set apart from the garden to be here in this sanctuary. That is how Christian would be. Do you want to be set apart? You would die. This would die. You would die from the world. They would die, but they are set apart. That is our life. Earlier Bible versions translated holy people as saints. So when you are called saints, you are holy people. Now, some groups of so-called Christians would say, call their people, oh, this is Saint Lorenzo, Saint Maximo, Saint. What is saint? What's your name? Saint. God is holy, therefore God's children should be holy. If you are God's children, you should be saints. You should be consecrated, set apart. You are sacred. We are God's children. Therefore, we should be holy. But how can a sinful human become holy? Our sinful humanity can never make ourselves holy. We can never make ourselves holy. We can never say, you are holy. We cannot do that. I can make you holy. No. In the real term, in the real meaning of holiness, we cannot. You cannot just say, I anoint you as saint. We cannot just do that because we are not holy. We are not perfect. Only the Holy Spirit Himself can make us holy if we totally rely, depend on Him. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 to 10, let's read this. For the Spirit of God gives us, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord and or of me as his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now the Lord saved all believers, genuine believers, who genuinely accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. Save us for the purpose to live a holy life, set apart from the world, consecrated lifestyle. Holy life serves as practical proof, indication of God's grace. Therefore, as believers set apart for holiness, we do not rely upon our own righteousness, but to follow biblical righteousness. The Lord Jesus instructed us, do not worry. That is godly command. Do not worry about life. He commanded. And after saying that we do not need to worry about life, he commanded us, what do we need to do instead of worrying? Instead of worrying, we need to seek his kingdom, he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, 33 and 34. Do you have that? Matthew 6, chapter 33. Okay. You remember that, right? Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all his things shall be given to you as well. In verse 34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Its day has enough trouble of its own. So that is what we do. Instead of worrying, we need to seek. So when you sense that worrisome thing, worrying about work, worry about studies, worry about the future, worry about retirement, worry about life, Lord, help me seek your kingdom. Seeking his kingdom meaning seeking his authority over us. When God's kingdom come on us, it means that Christ has become the king of our life, the master of our life, that is seeking his kingdom. Seeking his righteousness means that his righteousness prevail in us. It's not our human righteousness, but the godly righteousness becomes our lifestyle. It is the way we follow. It's the righteousness that we follow, biblical righteousness, godly righteousness. So that we don't worry about the other things, because if we do that, he said, all these things, all the things that we need to live in godly righteousness will be given to us as well. We don't desire worldly wealth. Oh, but Lord, I want worldly wealth. Why? The Lord may ask you, what is it that you would you do that so that I can buy my yacht or my boat and I can go fishing? Would that be godly righteousness for you? Believers can still worry about many things when we fail to let that godly righteousness prevail in our life. When we start worrying, it means godly righteousness has stopped functioning in our life. But when we start following godly righteousness, worry would fade away to oblivion, forgotten. And we can only have lifestyle of godly righteousness when we totally rely upon the Lord. upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Pray to totally depend upon the Lord. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot rely upon the Lord on our own. So keep on praying, Lord, help me depend upon you. Please, please, please. Keep praying on that. Even asking the Lord to remind you to pray. Do you do that? I do it because I forgot many times to pray. So I ask the Lord, Lord, remind me to pray because I am forgetful. He understands it. He would love it. He would do it. He would remind us. Many believers have reached and explored the greatness of their potentiality because they are very dependent upon the Holy Spirit. If you have read history of great people, it was because their dependence of the Holy Spirit. Do you wish to discover your potentiality of greatness? Then rely upon the Holy Spirit in everything, in all you do, in everything you do. Pray that you would be able to discover that potentiality. Have you had discovered your potentiality yet? What is your potentiality? Do you know? Nobody knows. This is why, ask the Lord, what could be my potential? Oh, I'm not very tall, so my potential would not be very, not to be a basketball player. When I was in the academy, I wanted to play basketball, but they told me, you are short, just go to wrestling and judo, that could be better for you. Basketball, you are very short, you are very slow. I wanted to be a runner, but I was very slow again. And I don't like running. How could I be a runner when I don't like running? I want to play baseball because when I look at baseball players, they are very good. But I hate catching the ball. At one time, it hit me because I was not able to catch the ball. So it's not very good. You want to have that potentiality? Pray. Lord, what is my potential? Help me depend upon you and discover my potential. We have a good, very good biblical example in the Bible. The Lord commanded Moses. Moses built the tabernacle. Moses may have asked, who would help me? I cannot do it alone. Yeah, I give you somebody. Okay, who is that somebody? The Lord said in Exodus chapter 31, verse 2 to 6, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, with all kinds of skill, to make artistic design for the work in gold, silver, bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in woods, and engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. That is a biblical example that when God commands us to do something, He had already provided necessary help and talents to help us achieve what God had commanded. It was not Moses who chose Bezalel and Oholiab. It was God who chose. The Lord just told him that Bezalel and Oholiab, those skilled, I gave them the skill. I gave them the skill. He gave the skill. With the guidance of the Holy Spirit, Bezalel was able to instruct others. He teach others how they may do the things needed in the tabernacle. Bezalel relied upon the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. Do you need wisdom? Wisdom in everything? Ask the Holy Spirit. He give you the spirit of understanding, spirit of knowledge, spirit of skill. Now, students, you may be very confused how you may approach your studies. Listen, students. You want to excel in your studies. You fail sometimes, and you hate yourself because you fail. But maybe you failed in asking the Holy Spirit for guidance so that you would follow what He prepared, not what you dream about, what He prepared for you. What you dream about may be just kind of fling or kind of artistic imagination in your part. Pray that you may completely rely upon the Holy Spirit so that you may know how you may reach the potentiality of greatness that God prepared for you. You will be able to live in holiness as we wait upon the return, wait on the return, wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you are children of God, would God allow you to be just a commoner, an ordinary person, without reaching your potential? Think about that. Would that be loving God for you? That you would stay the same as the ordinary non-believers do? Is that how you, how do you believe your God is? God might have called you, and in church setting, we can practice that, how we may listen carefully to the Lord. Like for example, there's ministry of leadership coming, nomination coming. If you were nominated, pray about it. If God has called you to the ministry of leadership, accept your nomination to the leadership ministry if you sense that God has called you. But first pray. Don't hesitate to explore your leadership skill that God gave you when you depend upon the Holy Spirit. Every child of God is a leader. Do you believe that? It doesn't mean that you will be a leader of the nation. It doesn't mean, but you would be a leader. Maybe a leader of a few, leader of many, or multitude, I don't know. But at least you would lead one. You may lead one, lead your family, lead your brother, lead your sister, younger sister, your cousin. You will lead them to the Lord. Let's stand up. Let's pray. Let's ask. Ask the Lord to fill you in power with the Holy Spirit, and that the Lord would reveal to you your potentiality and live a lifestyle of holiness as we wait upon the return of Christ. Please pray silently.